Let's open up Romans, getting back into the 15th chapter, and thanking God again as he brought to us as we started into the 15th chapter last week. We were encouraged about Paul's testimony of the ministry that the Lord had given him. And so many things were brought out, but the one thing that was so emphasized, the one main thing that that ministry was all about, praise be to God, was and is to preach the whole counsel of God. I thank this. Paul's encouragement from the Lord was to expound the mystery of Christ in the church and to, again, not withhold a thing. And as we read last week, it was so precious in the 15th chapter, in the 15th verse, in thinking about coming to these Roman saints, these ones in Rome that, you know, often aren't spoken of too much in the word and in conversation. A lot of times we dwell on the Philippian saints and the Ephesians, and then we start, you know, saying, oh my goodness, the crazy Corinthians and all of that. But these Rome saints, my goodness, their faith was known throughout the whole world. And they loved, and they were able to encourage one another. I mean, these were truly some Philadelphia hearts in Rome. And I thank God how the Lord so graced Paul's heart to want to be with them. But in wanting to be with them, the greatest thing that he was asking the Lord, and the Lord had encouraged his heart, was, you know, we're going to get together and we're going to preach the word of God even more boldly. So I thank the Lord. See, there's always the much, the more. They never stop. There's just more. There's more light upon light. There's more love. That wineskin that the Lord talks about that we are, as the wine is poured in, it stretches. And God, help us to never get complacent. Never say, oh, it was enough. Help us, Lord God, to go past the halfway house and all the way to the top. Praise his name. But Paul, as we read as well too, see, there was no picking and choosing what he was going to preach. He didn't size up people and tried to think about, well, what should I preach to them? Let me tell you something. Paul preached the whole counsel of God. Paul preached the bridal message. Paul planted and watered and all of those different things, and ones that were like him. This isn't, again, to magnify or glorify Paul. Again, we follow Paul as he followed Christ. We know he is just a vessel, praise the Lord. But what a treasure and what a chosen vessel he was to God, all because of the message of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus that was given to Paul. And I thank the Lord for this. And we thank God that he preached boldly the bridal message. He preached Paul's gospel. He preached that Jesus Christ is going to have a bride. And praise be to God, he preached the word of God rightfully divided, and that bride for Christ will be a small company. It will be a rib portion, just like the sleep that came over Adam. We understand that today there is a sleep on the church. You read that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, that there is a slumber, there's a complacency, the love has waxed cold. There is not ears to hear, in a sense, what the Spirit saith to the churches. There is a slothfulness that's come upon the church. But it's at that time that there is a quickening rib portion that is loving his appearing, that is looking for his second coming, and she will be taken out, and praise be to God, and is made that precious wife for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And in that, Paul was not ashamed to preach that gospel. Praise God. He was ridiculed for it. He was punished. He was rejected, stoned and beaten and whipped and all of those different things. And he said, I glory in my infirmities. I am so thankful to God to suffer for his sake. And he also told us that in like manner we're going to suffer with him if we're going to go that way too. So praise the Lord. We don't think these things strange. We don't, these fiery trials. We know that God truly before ordains these good works that we should walk therein. So let's go ahead and continue here in chapter 5. We'll pick it up in verse 20, and in verse 20 it says, yea, Paul says, yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel. And he strived to preach the gospel not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. For which cause also I have been much hindered from my coming to you. Now, this is why Paul was so hindered, in a sense, or delayed, if you want to call it this, coming to Rome. He's wanted to come to Rome for quite some time, but the calling that was upon his life to preach the full gospel and to preach the full gospel in places where it had not been heard, this is what was placed upon Paul's heart, and those that will have the same heart as Paul. Now, let's go over here to Colossians, and we'll read some verses here talking about the heart that was given to Paul. The heart, praise God, that if we're really running to win God's best, is the heart that will be in us as well, too. And Colossians 1:23, I'd like to just start there. It says, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard. And notice this. This is the gospel, which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. See, man's without excuse. It's been preached to everybody. People say, well, this one didn't hear it, or this one. Let me tell you something. God reveals himself in nature. Know these things. We understand that God knows. Wherefore, Paul says, I am made a minister. Now, going on. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church. Wherefore I am made a minister. Think of that. He says this twice now. Isn't that wonderful? According what? To the dispensation. He was the overseer, the domestic of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. And that word fulfill, always remember this, this means to complete the word of God. See, Paul's gospel completes the word of God. That, well, we'll go on. Don't want to jump too far ahead. It's hard not to get excited when you talk about this stuff. But then he goes on to say, even the mystery, listen to this now, the mystery which has been hid from the ages and from generations, that's peoples, but now is made manifest to his saints. Again, something hidden. And what was that? Let's go back over here to Ephesians. I don't think we can adequately hit it unless we read this too. If you go back to Ephesians chapter 3, now listen to what Paul again is saying. See, this is why we know, brothers and sisters, salvation is just the beginning. There's the much, the more. Christ is going to have a wife, and this message has been hidden. And here's what Paul says in chapter 3. And we'll read from the third verse. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Now again, he says the same thing here. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. See, you go over to Hebrews in that in the 11th chapter, and you'll read all of that wonderful by faith, by faith, by faith. But then at the very end of that wonderful, precious chapter, it says that there's a better thing for us. Isn't that something? That without us, they cannot be made perfect. All of those worthies of faith, from the Moses to the Jacob to the Abraham, all of that. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And let me tell you something. That's a precious wounded side company that we're talking about here. But it says, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. And what was that mystery? That the Gentiles. And you'll read about those Gentiles. Don't think that this is just speaking of anybody who's not a Jew. These are saved people. That's what this word Gentiles means in this text. That saved ones should be fellow heirs. Again, my favorite word, I think, in the Greek, synkleronomous, joint heirs as husband and wife with Jesus Christ. Praise be to God that the Gentiles should be now made joint heirs, fellow heirs, as husband and wife of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. And we thank God for this. How precious to read what we have been made to God. And again, now what has been offered to us that we're heirs and now joint heirs with Jesus Christ, if so be that we suffer together with him. Now let's go back to Colossians, reading back there again from the first chapter and getting back to that 26th verse where it said, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. And he goes on to say, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory, of this mystery among the Gentiles. He's saying here, I'm gonna show you the best part. I'm gonna take you down into the mother lode of it all. I'm going to show you my very heart. This is the riches that I have that praise God, if you'll want it, it's all there that the Holy Ghost will give it to you, my goodly pearl. But it says there, what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, and what is that? Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man. Isn't that something about how Paul does this? He doesn't just pick this one, that. He just preaches the word in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect or complete or finished or full grown, adult, mature in Jesus Christ. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Praise the Lord. Now, I'll tell you what, that's love. That's called passion. That's called the only thing I want for your life is for you to grow up into Christ in all things. Nothing short. The mark for the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Praise God. I pray that that is the passion that we have. I believe that God is sowing that into our lives. I believe that this is why we come together, hallelujah, is to praise him for this great grace. Now I want to talk about, we'll read about, it's better to read about it, over in Acts 19, Paul in this chapter 19 of Acts is actually at this time, he's there in this place where this letter is written from. It takes the story back to this place in a sense of his journey. So this is the missionary journey that he's on as he's writing this letter to the Romans, telling them that he wants to come unto them and to see them and to be with them. So if you go to the 19th chapter, let's read what's going on, and we'll read verses 1 through 7. And it says, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coasts, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. So see, on this missionary journey that Paul was on, not only, and we're going to get to what that type was, where Paul says, I preached it in areas or to people that hadn't heard the word of God. He was also preaching, I'll tell you, a lot of preaching to people that had already heard the word of God. And now he was giving them the depth of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the bride. And thank the Lord, you think about, here he comes upon and finding certain disciples. Now this isn't speaking of, the 12, or in a sense of those, but these are disciples. These are ones that were preaching Christ. These are ones that were telling people about the things of God. And here's what Paul says to these disciples. He says to them, listen to this. Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? Now, brothers and sisters, I can take people to a lot of different places in the Word of God, but that's about as direct as it can be. You are not saved. When you are saved, that does not mean that you're receiving the Holy Ghost and the infilling of the Holy Ghost when you're saved. Matter of fact, it tells you that those are two completely different things. As he says to him one more time, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? That's pretty straightforward. You're saved. You've accepted Christ Jesus as Savior. But have you been filled with the Holy Ghost? Huh? That's what he's saying here. And what do they say to him? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be a Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then have you been baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, these are these disciples, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Sure, they were saved. Absolutely, they were saved. But they wanted to be baptized, praised God, in the name of Jesus, in that precious way that the Word of God had encouraged. But then look at what happened after they were baptized. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied, and all the men were about 12. Hallelujah. So we see in this journey, brothers and sisters, I really wanted to point this out, is that it wasn't only a missionary journey to ones that had never heard the Word of God, but this was this missionary journey to ones that were saved that needed to hear the mystery that was given to Paul. Praise God. That we may understand really what was going on here. Now go over to chapter 20. Let's think of some of these other things during the same journey, what Paul says as he goes along. And this testifies of this wonderful ministry that was given to Brother Paul. The wonderful mystery, praise God, that's been given to us. We're not just reading about Paul, brothers and sisters. We're reading about a passion. We're reading about a heart. We're rejoicing, praise God, that this is the very heart that God has for us. To be fully purposed, to be ones, praise the Lord, that want to win God's best too. So in Acts 20, we'll just read a few of the wonderful things that are encouraged upon Paul's heart as he's speaking to these elders at Ephesus. Now, in chapter 20, verse 20, here's what Paul says to these are elders. These are Ephesian elders. These are ones that love the Lord. He says, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. See, he never withheld a thing. About things with the Word of God, he gave it all. He let the Lord take care of the rest. I'm just going to preach the Word. That's why he told Timothy, Timothy, preach the Word. Don't look at what comes forth after that. God gives the increase. The Word of God does not return unto the Lord void. We know these things. Trust the Word of God. Don't look with these eyes. You know that the Word of God works effectually in them that believe. Pray for faith. Hallelujah. But preach the Word of God. Then go on over to verse 27. He says, Paul says, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. He didn't hold it back. He didn't omit anything. He didn't try to hedge his bet. He said, I've given you everything. He said, I've preached unto you the whole counsel of God. This is Paul's gospel. It's not bits and pieces. And then finally in verse 32, how wonderful he tells. He says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. So see, again, it's the word of his grace. It's not in the works of our flesh, like so much wants to be emphasized today. Great missionary events, great all of these different things, and big events. Brothers and sisters, it's about the word of his grace. It's about truth and love. It's about he says, I'm seeking the true worshiper who worships me in spirit and in truth. That's why it was so important as Paul went out there to tell people, you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You want to understand all truth? You want to be in this precious bridal company? You're going to have to get eyes that see it. You're going to have enlightened eyes that embrace it, praise God. And the only one that can do this is the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. See, I'm not ashamed of that. Not going to try to soft sell that type of thing. I'd rob you. By God's grace, yeah, we got to get down to it and say, Lord, I see the Word of God and what you have in here. I think about sweet Brother Paul. I remember that time, I think it was after a Sunday night or Wednesday night, he come up to me. I need that. Oh, he actually came in the office. I need the Holy Ghost. I said, well, sure. He said, well, I see these things, but I need the Holy Ghost to really see these things. And I love it. And I sent him over to Brother Kev, and I always remember that. And I didn't realize he'd go over that next morning because I was going out of town. I said, now, Paul, he said, I got a day off. I said, okay, well, you go see Brother Kev, and you go over to his house. And so around about 12 o'clock, I get this call the next day from Kevin, and he said, who was this guy you sent over to my house? He said, he knocking on my door at 8 in the morning or 8:30 or whatever it is, and I don't know who he is. And, you know, Kevin's such a giant man. He comes walking up the door, and Paul, you know, kind of small stature there, kind of looking up at him, big old smile. Kevin was saying, he said, and Kevin, all I remember hearing, he said, Brother Jesse sent me over here for you to pray with me to receive the Holy Ghost. And Kevin said, I'll tell you what, that guy came in, it wasn't even about just a few minutes, and he was just on and on and on. And he said, man, I couldn't get him out of my house speaking in tongues for at least an hour. And but see, that's again, praise God, how you want to get filled. But see, the Lord just give us the faith to pray for one another, that again, that we continually seek it, that we don't be discouraged, that God has this for us. We see it in His Word, brothers and sisters, and we see these things that He once worked in our lives. He says, by faith. Okay, by faith, all right? It's not just, well, I read it once, or I read it twice, or I did this, or I see this, by faith. And I'll tell you one thing that faith does, you wait for it. A lot of times it's patience. God, help us to wait on the Lord, but don't move from the Word of God. So, and see what we've read here about Paul preaching the whole counsel of God. See, he was about declaring it. He was about reminding them. He was about exhorting them. Praise God. That's what he was doing, and he was thankful for those Roman saints, and he was sure looking forward for that sweet fellowship. Now, before we move on, see how much is in this? I'm telling you, it's so rich in this these precious chapters, and I pray that God just continues to spark our heart with interest in this. But also in this section, as we just read here, Paul is a precious type in here. He's a precious type because Paul is a Jew. And he is a figure or a type or a shadow of the believing remnant of the Jews that will be sent to minister to the kingdom of God. We're talking about in the millennial age. Remember how we read back in the 9th chapter of Romans as the Word of God showed us? And I rejoice in this. I think, you know, when they go out there and they preach to every creature under heaven, you'll read that in Matthew, the Great Commission there, that's going to be this these precious Jewish evangelists. Can you imagine that? They're the ones that are going to be out there preaching Jesus to the world. And I am so grateful to God to know that, you know, he's faithful. He's going to be faithful to that remnant. But see, this is Brother Paul in another type here of when he's going out into these lands and these places where they haven't heard the Word of God or seen these things at all. This is going to be someday. See, Paul was a Jew, and God's going to reveal that. So there's lots of wonderful stuff in this precious chapter that we have here. Now let's go on back to Romans 15 again. And let's get reading from the 23rd verse. We've got to move along. But now, having no more place in these parts. See, so Paul knows that the Lord's wrapping that part of his journey up. And having a great desire these many years to come unto you. Isn't that something? Many years. He had a desire and a heart for many years to see these precious brothers and sisters in the Lord. I just think this is wonderful. These were some beloved brethren that he wanted to see. These ones in Rome were full of faith and love. And yet, instead of just getting anxious and saying, I'm going to go, he waited on God. See, God had a perfect timing in this. And he knew when everything was going to be ready to the second when this was going to happen. And I think about these Roman saints, because Paul commends them so much about their faith, their love, their encouragement, all of these different things. And see, they were, in a sense, they were the least in need. They were in a good, praise God, they were in a good state. Hallelujah. They were thankful again for Paul's gospel. And they waited too, just as Paul was waiting, for I like to call it this, the cherubim fellowship with Paul. I believe that, you know, they were going to wait. And those things that are worth waiting for, you know what? You'll wait. So thanks be to God that that passion, they didn't forget about one another. They sure loved one another in the Lord. Now going on, 24 and 25. Whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you. For I trust to see you in my journey and to be brought on my way thitherward by you. If first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go unto Jerusalem here to minister unto the saints. Okay, so before Paul's going to be now, he's been on his journey, and he still wants to get back to Rome, but he says, I'm still going to go to Jerusalem first before I get to see you. Okay, now, I'm going to give you a little bit, and I know many of you know the story. But I'll tell you what, how Paul finally gets to Rome out of Jerusalem, he's imprisoned. It wasn't something that was a path again strewn with rose petals and a triumphant entry. He came chained. He came bound when he finally gets to fellowship with these Roman saints. And see, again, brothers and sisters, God may grace something upon your heart. And really, the things that God, I pray you understand, that grace is upon your heart is the Word of God. And you'll see things in the Word of God, and you'll be encouraged in your life and a lot of things in the Word of God. But you know what? He's going to perform it, I'll assure you, in the way that you never thought. He's going to perform it, I'll assure you, in a way that you would have never chosen. But because of true love and the love of Jesus to your life, you're going to thank God however he performs it because of his grace. And I am so thankful that we know this because of his magnificent love to us. See, God is always going to magnify the magnificence of his Son. He's going to always show his Son strong. And the only way his Son can be shown strong in our life is when we are weak. Amen? The only way that the glory of Christ is going to rest upon your life is when you're in your infirmity. And you're so thankful to God for that weak. And you'll find, as you go on with God, you realize how weak you are. You realize that you're really weak in everything. You realize that, praise be to God, you know what? The power of Christ just raining on everything in my life. That's a wonderful thing. That's a precious time. That when there's no glory, save in the cross. Praise God. So again, let's just be saturated in the Word and how wonderful it is to our life. But now let's get into 26 and through 28, because here is why he is going to Jerusalem. In 26 through 28, it says, "For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem." So see, these saints that were in Macedonia, they had given goods to Paul. They'd probably given him money and different things to distribute to them. And so that was one of the reasons that Paul was going to Jerusalem. "It hath pleased them," it said, "verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things." Again, these were the Jews. You see that that precious, it is. It's kind of like a play on words. We understand that Christ came unto his own received him not, and turned into the Gentile and that type of thing. So you see all of this, again, this precious prophecy coming forth all throughout the Scripture. So it says, "For if the Gentiles haven't been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. When therefore I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain." I'll tell you, Paul really had a vision from the Lord how these things were going to be. He really did. He was convinced of the Lord. He was going to minister the Word of God in Jerusalem. But he was also not going to just minister the Word of God to them in Jerusalem. He was going to bring them money from saints because there were some poor saints in Jerusalem. They needed to have some things given to them. Now, I'm not going to turn there, but you'll read of this episode in Acts 21. And in that, you will read when Paul is encouraged of his heart, when he starts to get the desire to go to Jerusalem, He is warned, it says, he's warned through the Spirit by his disciples not to go. They're pleading with him, Paul, do not go there. It's a dangerous place. You're going to be killed if you go there. There was a prophet that even came to him. His name was Agabus. And the prophet Agabus was sent to him of the Lord. And the prophet came and took Paul's girdle that was upon him and took it, and he bound Paul, his hand and his feet. And he said to him, Paul, this is how you're going to arrive in Jerusalem. So again, the disciples that were with Paul, because they love Paul, they said, Paul, don't go into Jerusalem. Don't do it. But Paul was convicted and convinced of heart to go, and he went. And when he went, he first was received very wonderfully by these brethren in Jerusalem. It was a time of euphoria. They were happy. They were very glad that Paul came. As you find out, within a week, things changed real quick. I hate to say this. I might be able to connect the dots. They got their money that Paul had brought to them, and they said, well, we got our money, but we don't want any more of the Word of God. What do you think about that? Maybe. I don't know. But I know one thing, is it said there were other Jews that were following Paul. And they came into that place. And this was within 1 week, brothers and sisters. 1 week. They were all excited to be with Paul and to be encouraged of the Lord. But then these ones that wanted to sow this discord came in there. And they started to stir up the people and stir up the city. And they stirred it up so much that it says in the Word of God that all the city and all the people, not some, not pieces, not parts, they ran and they fell upon Paul. And they beat him. And they were beating him to kill him. But you know, God stopped it. And you know how God stopped it? He didn't stop it with a bunch of Christians running in there and say, oh, don't you hurt this man. Because I'm confident that some of those Christians were beating Paul too. Come on. And then the ones that weren't beating him, they ran and said, we're done with this. But the ones that saved him were the Roman soldiers. Not because of anything but God. And again, I always love to tell people about Jonah. See, Jonah couldn't even kill himself throwing him over that ship. So he said, nope, not done with you. I'm going to prepare a fish and you're going to be in that belly. And that's exactly the confidence that Paul had in the Lord. He knew the word of the Lord was true. He knew he was going, and we'll read a little bit about that as we go on tonight. But he knew he was going to suffer going to Jerusalem. He knew he was going to go through these things in a sense, but God. But he knew God had put that on his heart. He knew it was the word, and he knew God would deliver him. So, there's also a lot more to glean in this, but I want you to understand this. See, God used it for good. Some people might say, as they've read this, and I heard one guy say, well, see, Paul should have heeded the warning of the disciples and the warning of that prophet. He took that word. He knew that word was true. We're going to read this in a minute, that Paul never dismissed that. He never said, oh, that's not going to happen to me. But see, what Paul took was the encouragement of the Lord to be encouraged in the word of God, and that the Lord was going to take him through it. And how Christ-like this is. You think about this. 1 week, they turned on him. You remember a story called when Jesus entered on Palm Sunday? Huh? Praise God, he did. They were, when he entered Jerusalem that day, they were laying palms out. They were saying, oh, the king, he's come to save us. Within 1 week, those same ones that were saying he's come to save us and all that, they were nailing nails in his hands, tearing all the flesh on him, cursing him, putting him on a cross to kill him. Remember, they couldn't. He had to give up the ghost. Always remember that. He had to will himself and give himself to die. Praise God. All right. Now, we thank the Lord for these things, brothers and sisters. But see, these saints in Jerusalem that Paul went to, they were not grounded. You don't turn on the brethren. You don't do that. And especially don't turn against someone divinely given out the word of God. So much in that. And what another type of how these Christians were not grounded. I think about how it says in Revelation 13:3, about the beast, the Antichrist that will come. Do you know the Word of God says that the whole world will wander after him? Do you know at that time, if it's all the world, there will be people that you don't know of the Lord, that believe the Lord, that will be deceived in things. Brothers and sisters, there's Christians that are deceived today. It happens. But for the grace of God, there go I. You need to stay in the Word. You get weak, you'll start acting like lots of things. My heart just aches and grieves to see different Christians, and you read about their lives getting into these absolute ungodly religions and turning to just pagan and devilish things. Still a sheep, absolutely. That seed that remaineth remains. But I'll tell you what, you sure can act like a dog. And God help us, huh? I think about Alexander the coppersmith. There was a man at the very first, and we studied this, that helped Paul, that was listening to Paul, and different things of that nature early on. But what happens to Paul, as he says about Alexander the coppersmith later on, he's done me much evil. Huh? And Paul wasn't speaking about himself. It was against the Word of God. And this man had heard the deeper things of God and been witness these things. And not only did he turn away from it, he turned to fight it and to destroy it and to hurt it. And I hate to say this, but I know a few people like that. God help us, huh? Remember that, but for the grace of God, there go I. But for the grace of God. All right, let's go ahead and move through to close this chapter up. So, verses 28 and 29, back over here in Romans 15. When therefore I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now, that guy's just so proud. He's boasting. I'd boast too in the Lord, wouldn't you? When you know, praise God, you're preaching the Word of God and you're led in the Spirit, how could you not be confident, hallelujah, that the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ? Are you not blessed with all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ? Yes, you are, all you children of God. But most people don't live like that. Because, praise the Lord, in order for that fullness to be in your life, let me tell you something, you need to be full of the Holy Ghost. Not just filled, but a fullness. Praise God, full and running over. We are so thankful. But what confidence is here in the fullness of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? See, Paul was confident in that grace of the message, of the truth and love message. He knew that, praise God, that the Lord is for that. And if God be for you, who could be against you? Amen? That's exactly what it is. And God is for that. Let me tell you something. God is for His Word. Amen? You know it. God is for His Word. This is wonderful stuff. This is what we have in Christ. And brothers and sisters, may we be assured that same way in our lives, confident in the anointing of the Spirit in our life and the purpose of God, praise the Lord, to lead us into all truth. See, be confident in the grace of God. That's what you need to be confident in. Confident in the grace of God, that His love to me. I know He'll never leave me nor forsake me. I know He'll perform the good work which He's begun. I'm not counting as if I've, or saying that I've already apprehended. I understand that. I press toward that precious mark, that grace mark. It's grace. It's not of works. It's just more grace to run. But I'm confident in that grace to perform that work fully in my life. Praise the Lord. And I want to be bold in that. And I want to give Him praise for it, that it's all His work. We are totally His workmanship. Now, verse 30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit. Isn't that wonderful? See, there's the love. You want that real love, that passionate love? It's the love of the Spirit. That ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. See, Paul wasn't about himself, but it was about, again, that message. And Paul was encouraging them. God has given me, praise the Lord, this mystery, this precious, it's the message of the proposal of Jesus Christ to his bride. Pray with me. Be with me. Pray that God encourage my life even the more in this. And we too need that same spirit. We need to pray for the furtherance of the gospel and Paul's gospel in people's lives, to truly want all saints to grow up into Christ in all things. Just like Jesus Christ had Paul say in Timothy there, I would that all men be saved and come to the full, exact, intimate, complete knowledge of the truth. Whew. Man, it kind of wears you out, doesn't it? Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord, for your love to us. All right, 31 and 32. That I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy. Oh, hallelujah. Not just come unto you, but come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now, I just have to say a big wow to that, because Paul does know what's coming. Amen. He knows what's coming. He knows he's going to suffer for Christ's sake. And I'll tell you what, there's going to be a great suffering. He's already been encouraged in spirit by the disciples not to go to Jerusalem. He's been told by a prophet that was sent to him in love, you're going to be bound there, buddy. This is not going to be good. Paul knows that, Lord, I'm trusting you for this. And not only do I want to do this willingly, but I want to do this joyfully. I want to be delivered with a full joy in this. Praise God. You think maybe now you got a different approach to a trial when it hits you? Lord, I want to be delivered with joy. Praise the Lord. Amen. Oh, I love you. Pray for me. Pray for me. I want to be delivered with joy. I don't want to just go through this and going through the motions or saying, oh, well, you know, we just got to kind of get through it. Oh, no. I want to smell the roses. And the roses are, believe it or not, in the fiery furnace. Roses, praise God, are in the lion's den. In the depth of that dark mile is when you look up and you can see it all. So we praise God for this, don't we? See, we know he's made it all known to us, the lovers of him, praise the Lord. But Paul was praying for a full joy to be in him, because he knew he was going to go bound and chained into Rome. He knows what's going to happen. He knows that that prophet told him this. He knows that he needs the prayers of the saints. And he's praying here and asking for the prayer of faith. He's not asking, in a sense, specific things for his desire. He's praying and asking for prayer according to the word of God. See, a lot of people, I shouldn't say a lot of people, some people might say, well, he should have just been praying for those Jews, to all of them to repent. No. No. Because he knew that they weren't. So if you know that God's told you something, I love how Jesus said. He said, Jesus even said, I don't pray for the world. I pray for them that the Father gave me. Huh? Oh, I pray for everybody. I pray for all God's precious people, because those are all his. Amen? I pray for people to receive Jesus as Savior. I do. Don't let your goodness blind you from the Word of God. Don't. Huh? Because you don't have any goodness. Remember that. That's just wickedness to God. But praise the Lord that he wasn't praying for that. What he was praying for, if you think about this, he was praying that he would be delivered, and delivered with joy, so he could come and fellowship with these precious saints of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Praise God. A lot of people look at that and say, well, that wasn't like a giant thing. He should have been praying for all those people to come to God and all that. No, he was praying, Lord, Unite me in joy with the brethren that love you, that passionately love you. Isn't that incredible? Listen to the Word of God. Amen. Listen to the Word of God. And here's what happened, and we'll close this up. Let's go back over to Acts in chapter 20, 22 through 25. Isn't it exciting? The Word of God is so exciting. And it says there in Acts 20, 22 through 25, and now, see, this is Paul going, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem. See, he was already bound in the Spirit. See, the Lord had, he was a prisoner of Christ, wasn't he? Hallelujah. He was a prisoner of that love. Not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And I love how Paul concludes this 15th chapter. Let's go over and read the last verse, and we'll close it out. He says, now, the God of peace be with you all. Amen. And I love that. He's encouraging these sweet brethren. Whether I make it or not, you got the God of peace. Whether I'm delayed, whether I'm not able to make it, no matter. God and His peace are always with you. It's not me. It's God. Now by faith, rejoice in it and live it. Amen. All right. Let's stand and be dismissed.